Blog Talk Radio. All the stuff that's going on in the world, millions didn't make it. that we were one of the ones that did it. So thank God. Thank God in the midst of your good. Thank God in the midst of your bad. Thank God in the midst of your ugly. So, Father God, I just thank you this morning for just being my Father God and loving me and guiding me and leading me in the path of righteousness. So let's get into our word. Get your word out. Get your word out. It is Bible study. And if there are those that would like to speak as we teach, the number to call is 213-943-3597. And 213-943-3597. You can call that number while we are live. You can listen in on Blog Talk Radio on your any device that you may have. Just type in Blog Talk Radio. And then when you get in, just type in Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And that is B-R-I-G-I-T-T-E. And you will find me. And this year we are coming out and we are, wow, almost to the halfway mark of our Bible for this month, for this year. Excuse me. We are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. Hallelujah. So, the Word of God says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a sea of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seeds of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army, so they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight. Now the Lord put, you know the Lord put on these leprous men's minds to go and turn themselves into the Syrians. But he also knew that the Syrians would not be there. God has a way of providing when we least expect it. So we got to understand everything is for a purpose and a reason. And it goes on to tell us, oh, by my word here, they left the camp intact. Their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts, excuse me, family, I don't know why I'm acting like I'm sleepy, because God knows I had a good night's rest. It says this, the enemy must be really upset with us. But, God, hallelujah. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king also. So they went and called to the gatekeeper of the city and told them, saying, we went to the Syrian camp. And surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys, tied in the tents and tents. And the gatekeeper called out, and they told it to the king's house on his side. So the king arose in the night and said to his servant, let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field. And when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, please let several men take five of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitudes of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see. Therefore, they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them to the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan. And indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons. Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a sea of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two seeds of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. What thus says the Lord is going to happen. Now the king had appointed the officer on whose head he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two seeds of barley for a shekel and a seed of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of the Samaria. Then the officer had answered the man of God and said, now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he had said, as he had said, in fact, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And so it happened to him. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. And that is the beginning of this chapter. You know, remember, sister, an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. We didn't know that he wasn't going to be able to eat of it because he's going to be dead. Everything that God said he will do, he will do. And let's go back to a live question from this chapter, chapter 7 of 2 Kings. And it says this, throughout the Bible, we read of prophets and other men and women of God who implored their people to hear the word of the Lord. Obviously, God earnestly wanted his people to hear his voice. He still does. So how do we hear God when he speaks to us today? What steps can we take to make ourselves ready to hear what he has to say? We tend to complicate the process. When we want to ask God what he desires in our lives, we often act as though we would like to receive a phone call from heaven in which the Lord gives us a detailed plan for the next 5 years. In fact, we already have everything we need to discover what he wants for us. Developing daily spiritual discipline helps us to hear the Lord's voice clearly and seek his direction continually. Ponder the following basic steps you can take to enable you to hear the Lord when he speaks to you. Get your pen and paper, y'all. Get your pen and paper. And the first thing to do, and this is for me as well, when I want to hear the voice of the Lord, I want to know what to do too. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. He said, first, read God's word. Simple. Just open up the word of God. Read God's word. That's just good news. Read it again. Read God's word. By diving every day into God's word, which is what we do, or moving forward, we dive deep into the word of God. But we will have read the entire Bible in 1 year. We have a word for every day. And so we're diving deep into God's word. And it goes on to tell us, we begin to see its established order for our lives. We learn about God's truth. Forgiveness. Woo! It's a mouthful. Mercy, love, forgiveness. But the biggest thing is God's truth. So many times in this generation and this vernacular, I'm living my truth. Okay. But are you living God's truth? Are you listening to his voice? Are you seeking his face? Are you wanting to be more like Jesus? Are you just living your truth? And then it goes on to tell us, seek him in prayer. Many times, bowing our heads is the best way to seek God's face and hear his voice in opening ourselves up before the Lord. We, honestly, discuss our circumstances with him, listening for his direction as we remain still. Prayer is more than just a wish list for God. Can you say it again, Dr. Stanley? Prayer is more than a wish list for God. Lord, I need. Lord, I want. Lord, can I have? Lord, can I? Will you? Can I? It's mostly can I. Can I have this? Can I have that? Lord, nobody's saying if it's your will, but, oh, Lord, I need, I need a new pair of shoes. I need, oh, God, you know, I need that fit. You know, 4th of July is coming up, and I need a new outfit for the 4th. And, Lord, I know that you have to provide. I know I ain't got no money, but, you know, Lord, I know that you'll take care of it. And all I got to do is just go on and get it. I'm going to go get my stuff. I'm going to go get me that outfit. But I know that my God will provide. Do you need that outfit when you got clothes everywhere? Do you need that outfit when you got to pay your bills and you making more bills? Do you need that outfit at a 25% interest rate? Do you need that outfit? The answer is no. When you got plenty of clothes to wear, it's right there in your closet. All you have to do is open it up and look. No. We got to pray in earnest. And every prayer does not have to be about you. Lord God, we ask you to watch over us. Families, yes. But Lord, we ask you to watch over our world. We ask you to bless the parents of the Uvalde children who lost their lives. Lord, give them strength. Let your angels surround them and help them to forgive. Lord God, help them not to see their children anymore, but to see who they were and not what they became. You know, we have to pray for God to lead us and guide us. Lord God, you know that our world is out of control with violence. We need you, Lord. We need you to unharden the heart as only you can. God will listen. And then it goes on to tell us, many times, I love it, I'm going to read it again. Bowing our heads is the best way to see God's face and hear his voice in opening ourselves up before the Lord. We can honestly discuss our circumstances with him, listening for his direction as we remain still. As we remain still. Prayer is more than just a wish list. Tell him, Dr. Stanley, tell us. God is more than an ATM, is what I say. It is a conversation in which we interact with him. We talk to our dad as if we were talking to our dad. I have conversations with God, and I just feel his presence. I feel the tears. I feel ill him. Who is God dead? Yes, he is. And then he tells us to meditate. Dwelling on what God speaks to our hearts is a great way to let him truth, let his truth, take root in our souls. Not only will what we read and hear from him impact our lives, but by meditating on it, God has the building material to lay an unshakable foundation in our hearts. The psalmist said to the Lord, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. 119th Psalm, verse 99. And as we continue, it says to listen. You hear with your ears. If you have normal hearing, you can help hearing sounds within a certain audio range. Listening, however, goes further, involving the mind. Genuine listening is active, meaning that it puts the mind in ear. And here, You hear with your ears. If you have normal hearing, you can help hearing sounds within a certain audio range. Listening, however, goes further, involving the mind. Genuine listening is active, meaning that it puts the mind in gear. Hears everything said, looking intently for the meaning. That's how God wants us to listen to him actively. And I'm going to give you these points one more time. Developing a daily spiritual discipline helps us to hear the Lord's voice clearly, seek his direction continually, ponder the following basic steps you can take to enable you to hear the Lord when he speaks to you. I want to hear. The first thing I must do is read God's word, which we do every day, except for Saturday on live. But I read the word every day. Seek him in prayer. Pray every day. Meditate. We got to take some time to just be quiet and meditate on God. Listen. Listen for his voice, and then have a Samuel in your spirit. Here I am, Lord. Speak to me. I speak, Lord, to me. Here I am, Lord. Speak to me. That's what he does. He speaks to us. All we have to do is listen. Chapter 8 of 2 Kings. Then Elisha, or Elijah, whichever way you speak it, Elisha or Elijah, the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha had done. Now it happened, as he was telling the king, how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elijah restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left in the land until now. Then Elijah went to Damascus, and then had a king of Syria was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God has come here. And the king said to Hazael, take a present in your hand and go to meet the man of God and inquire the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover from this disease? So Hazael went to meet with him and took a present with him of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads. And he came and stood before him and said, your son, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, shall I recover from this disease? And Elijah said to him, go and say to him, you shall certainly recover. Ever the Lord has shown me that he will really die. Then he set his confidence in a fear until he was ashamed. And the man of God wept. And his dad said, why is my Lord weeping? He answered, because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with the sword, and you will dash their children and rip open their women with child. So Isaiah said, but what is your servant a dog that he should do this gross thing? And Elijah said, the Lord has shown me that you will become king over Syria. Wow. You would think that would be like good news, but it's not for Israel. And let's keep it moving. Since then Elijah answered, the Lord has shown me that you will become king over Syria. Then he departed from Elijah, and then to his master, he said to him, what did Elijah say to you? And he answered, you told me you would surely recover. But it happened on the next day that he took a thick cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it over his face so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his place. He killed the king. Come on now. Second that. He killed the king. Let's go back up. And this is what Elijah said. And Elijah said to him, go say to him, you shall certainly recover. However, the Lord has shown me that he will really die. Because he knew this evil little man was going to kill the king and become a thorn in the side of Israel and Judah. So let's see what it says. Call me in the way. Now in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat having been king of Judah, Joram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began to reign as king of Judah. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised to give him a lamp, give a lamp to him and his sons forever. Like mother, like daughter. We'll come back to the life lesson after we get through the word this morning. And it says, and in his day, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. So Joram went to Zair and all his chairs with him. Then he rose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him. And the captains of the chariots and the troops fled to their tents. Thus Edom has been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. And Libnah, revolted at that time and still does. Now the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Joram rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahaz, king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Now he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Azael, king of Syria, and Ramoth of Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram. King Joram went back to Jezreel to recover from his wounds, which the Syrians had inflicted on him at Ramah, when he fought against Azael, king of Syria. And Azael, the son of Joram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. But let's go back to Ahab's daughter. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. Jehoshaphat, the righteous king of Judah, foolishly allowed the crown prince to marry the daughter of one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. All the good he had accomplished quickly came unraveled, because she was her mama's child. Let's just call it like it was. She was his mama's child. She was her mama's child. Just evil to the core, just like her parents. Like mama, like daughter. And she was like her. Ahab had a smidgen of good. But Jezebel was evil to the core and made an evil daughter just like her and caused Israel's brothers and sisters in Judah to follow right after them in the ways of wickedness. God is watching everything. And then if you continue this, and Elijah, the prophet, called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, get yourself ready and take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. Now when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise up from among his associates and take him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and do not delay. So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he arrived, there were the captains of the army sitting, and he said, I have a message for your commander. They said, for which one of us? And he said, for you, commander. Then he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king of the Lord over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the house, at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. So I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Azaz. The dog shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came out to the service of his master, and one said to him, is all well? Why did this madman come to you? And he said to them, you know the man and his Bible. And they said, a lie tell us now. So he said, thus and thus he spoke to me, saying, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under his arm on the top of the steps. And they blew trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had been defending Ramoth-Gilead. He and all Israel against Azael, king of Syria. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him when he fought with Azael, king of Syria. And David said, if you are so minded, let no one leave our state city to go and tell it to Jezreel in Jezreel. So David rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, but Joram was laid up there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, come down to see Joram. Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company of men. And Joram said, get a horseman and send him to meet them, and let him say, is it peace? So the horseman went to meet him and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me. So the watchman reported saying, the messenger went to them, but it is not coming back. Then he sent out a second horseman, who came to them and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, what have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me. So the watchman reported saying, he went up to them, and it's not coming back. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives ferociously. Then Joram said, make ready, and his chariot was made ready. Then Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his own chariot. And they went out to meet Jehu, and meet him on the property of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu, said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? As long as the harlotries of your mother, Jezebel, and her witchcraft are so many. Then Joram turned around and fled and said to Ahaziah, treachery, Ahaziah. Now Jehu drew his bow with full strength and shot Joram between his arms, and the arrow came out of his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Abiathar, the captain, picked him up into the track of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember, when you and I were riding together behind Ahab his father, that the Lord laid his burden upon him. Surely I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, saying, says the Lord, and I will repay you in this plot, says the Lord. Now therefore take and throw him on the plot of ground according to the word of the Lord. But when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw that he fled by the road of Beth-Hagen, so Jehu pursued him and said, shoot him also in the chariot. And they shot him at the accident of Gor, which is Ibleam. Then he fled to Megiddo and died there, and his servants carried him in the chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his tomb with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, the king of son of Ahab, Ahaziah became king over Judah. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. All I can say is, you reap what you sow. Whew, and the prophet said, let's keep it moving. Then as Jehu entered the gate, she said, is it peace? The mighty murderer of your master. And he looked up at the window and said, who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, go now, speak to this woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which you spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, on the plot of ground at Jezreel and Jezebel. Dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuse on the surface of the field in the plot of Jezebel, so they shall not say, here lies Jezebel. Wow. When a prophet speaks, you better listen. And these are some life examples and a life lesson from chapter 9. And it says, responding to stress. Stressful situations can drive us to inappropriate responses. The prophet Elijah illustrates the importance of viewing circumstances from God's perspective. God sent the prophet to rescue Israel from its immoral and spiritual decline. Elijah confronted and defeated the prophets at them, but the wicked queen Jezebel immediately threatened to kill him from executing her bid of holding fast to God's faithfulness. Elijah panicked, ran, and hid. Only when he recalled God's past faithfulness did he realize it was sufficient for his present circumstances. If God could protect and provide for 7,000 others in Israel, he could sustain Elijah. So after a rest, the prophet returned to his mission for God. Like Elijah, we need to rest in God, recall his faithfulness, and trust him for the future. God remains active in our lives even when it feels as though he has fallen silent. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 36, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. The word of the Lord always comes to pass, but blessings are for judgment, and judgment came to Jezebel. Chapter 10 of 2 Kings. Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and Jehu wrote and sent letters to Samaria to the rulers of Jezebel, to the elders and to those who reared Ahab's sons, saying, now as soon as this letter comes to you, since your master's sons are with you and you have chariots and horses, fortified cities also and weapons, choose the best qualified of your master's on his father's throne and fight for your master's house. But they were exceedingly afraid of their look. Two kings could not stand up to him. How then can we stand? And he who was in charge of the house, and he who was in charge of the city, the elders also, and those who reared the sons sent to Jehu, saying, we are your servants. We will do all you tell us, but we will not make anyone king. Do what is good in your sight. Then he wrote a second letter to them, saying, if you are for me and will obey my voice, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me at Jezreel by this time tomorrow. Now the king's sons were 70 persons, were with the great men of the city who were rearing them. So it was when the letter came to them that they took the king's sons and slaughtered 70 persons, put their heads in baskets, and sent them to him at Jezreel. Then a messenger came and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he says, lay them in two seats at the entrance of the gate until morning. So it was in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, you are righteous. Indeed, I conspired against my master and killed him. But who killed all these? Know now that nothing shall fall to the earth of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord has done what he spoke by his servant Elijah. So Jehu killed all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his close acquaintances and his priests, until he left him none remaining. And he arose and departed and went to Samaria. On the way at death east of the shepherds, Jehu met with the brothers of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, who are you? So they answered, we are the brothers of Ahaziah. We have come down to greet the sons of the king and the sons of the queen mother. And he said, take them alive. So they took them alive and killed them at the wall of Beth-Eat, 42 men, and he left none of them. Now when he departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he greeted him and said to him, is your heart right as my heart is for your heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. He said, if it is, give me your hand. So he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. Then he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they had him ride in the chariot, and when he came to Samaria, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria, that he had destroyed them, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. Then Jehu gathered all the people together and said to them, Ahab served Baal a little. Jehu will serve him much, much. Now therefore call to me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, and all his priests. Let no one be missing, for I have a great sacrifice for Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live. But Jehu acted deceptively with the intent of destroying the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. So they proclaimed it. Then Jehu said throughout all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. So they came into the temple of Baal, and the temple of Baal was full from one end to the other. And he said to the one in charge of the wardrobe, bring out vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. So he brought out vestments for them. Then Jehu and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, went into the temple of Baal and said to the worshippers of Baal, search and see that no servant of the Lord are here with you, but only the worshippers of Baal. So they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had appointed for himself 80 men on the outside, and it said, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, whoever lets him escape, it shall be his life for the life of the other. Now it happened as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering that Jehu said to the guard and to the captain, go in and kill them, let no one come out. And they killed them with the edge of the sword. Then the guard and the officers threw them out and went into the inner room of the temple of Baal. And they brought the sacred pillar out of the temple of Baal and burned them. Then they broke down the sacred pillar of Baal and tore down the temple of Baal and made it a refuge dump to this day. That Jehu destroyed Baal from Israel. However, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin, that is, from the golden calf that were at Bethel and Dan. And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight, and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, Your son shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. In those days the Lord began to cut off parts of Israel, and Ahab conquered them in all the territory of Israel, from the Jordan eastward in the land of the Gilead, Reuben, and Manasseh, from Arrow, which is by the river Arnon, including Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu, all that he did, and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Jehu rested with his father, and they buried him in Samaria. Then Joahaz, his son, reigned in his place. And the period that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years. And when we go back to our life lesson, to chapter 10, it just says this, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. Jehu jealously obeyed the word of the Lord so long as it advanced his career. I'm going to listen to God as long as it helps me. But to maintain control over his people, he followed the pattern set by the evil Jeroboam. Incomplete obedience is blatant rebellion. Remember that. Incomplete obedience is blatant rebellion. And as we get into chapter 11, we will not be able to finish all of Sunday, 2 Kings, chapter 12 and 13, but we should be able to finish chapter 11 this morning. And it says this, when Athela, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs. But Josiba, the daughter of King Joram and sister of Azariah, took Joash, the son of Azariah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered. And they hid him and his legs in the bedroom from Athela so that he was not killed. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years while Athela reigned over the land. In the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the bodyguards and the escorts and brought them into the house of the Lord to him. And he made a covenant with them and took an oath from them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. Then he commanded them, saying, this is what you shall do. 1/3 of you who come on duty on the Sabbath shall be keeping watch over the king's house. 1/3 shall be at the gate of Sarah and 1 at the gate behind the escort. You shall keep the watch of the house lest it be broken down. The 2 contingents of you go off duty on the Sabbath, shall keep watch of the house of the Lord for the king. But you shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within range, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes in. So the captains of the hundred did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. Each of them took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest, and the priest gave the captains of hundreds the spears and the shields which had belonged to King David that were in the temple of the Lord. Then the escort stood every man with his weapon in his hand all around the king. Because remember, the king was a little boy. He was not very old because she had protected this baby. She had protected him from the time he was born pretty much. And they protected him, the army of God, because God is always in charge of everything. And it says, and he brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, and gave him the testimony. They made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, long live the king. Now when Athela heard the noise of the escort and the people, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. When she looked, there was the king standing by a pillar, according to custom, and the leaders and the trumpets were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. So Athela tore her clothes and cried out, treason, treason! And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundred, the officers of the army, and said to them, take her outside under guard and slay with the sword whoever follows her. But the priest has said, do not let her be killed in the house of the Lord. So they seized her, and she went by way of the horses, entered into the king's house, and there she was killed. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, and that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. And all the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They thoroughly broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Mattan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. Then he took the captains of hundreds and the bodyguards and escorts and all the people of the land, and they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and went by way of the gate of the escorts to the king's house. Then he sat on the throne of the king. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. But they have slain a dealer with a sword in the king's house. Joash was 7 years old when he became king. He was a baby, 7 years old. And just a life lesson from this word, Josiba threw him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered. Although Felix, they tried to wipe out the divinity line and so frustrate the promise of God leading to the Messiah. But no one, not even the devil, can derail any of God's promises. Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord, the king, and the people that they should be the Lord's people. Jehoiada is a bright light in a dark time. He demonstrates that we can remain faithful to God and His word, Jehoiada is a bright light in a dark time. He demonstrates that we can remain faithful to God and His word, even when the culture around us decays and turns rotten. And we are seeing that now. We are asking God for some bright light. We are asking God to take control. And as we come back on Sunday, we'll finish up chapter 12 and 13 of 2 Kings, as well as our Psalms, our Proverbs, and our New Testament words. So thank you so much for joining me this morning. As always, before we get out of here, a word of encouragement from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning is this. And this is yesterday's word, which we received a little late, but it is a great word. And it says, good morning. Those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hand in everything. And in our lesson today, we saw God's hand in everything. Have a thankful Thursday, is what she told us. Okay, she gives us this. Good morning. God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a fantastic Friday, family. And as we do every day, we've added to our repertoire of prayer. And our prayer for this morning is pay it forward. Remember that judgment is merciless. For the one who judges others without mercy, so by showing mercy, you take dominion over judgment. James chapter 2 and 3. And we saw a whole lot of relentless, no mercy, merciless judgment going down in our lesson today. And the prayer for this morning is this as we wrap it up. And for those that leave us at 8 on the dot, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. And our prayer for this morning, which we will go just a smidge over until the prayer is done, and it says this. Gracious God, only you have the knowledge and power to judge rightly. When I am tempted to judge others based on their careless actions or thoughtless words, remind me of the mercy I have been shown. Your word says that mercy is better than judgment. May I remember this in the nitty-gritty of the frustrations and tensions that happen in the day-to-day. For those who repeatedly offend and wound me, may I have the grace to extend mercy along with wisdom to their boundaries. You are good. You don't demand that we stay in abusive relationships, but you do set the bar for how we handle our own hearts. Thought of my heart be drenched in your mercy, leading me to compassion for those who are challenging. Thank you, God, that I can rely on your help. I don't have to do this on my own. Thank you, Lord. I needed that word. When dealing with difficult people, are you quick to judge and dismiss them? That's just something to think about for today. And that is our word. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Please join me again on Sunday as we go forth in the word. We will be in the New Testament, and we will also finish up 2 Kings chapter 12 and 13. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Hear the word of the Lord. Wherever God is speaking, just listen. Thank you so much, and be. Thank you so much, and have a blessed and wonderful day. It's a wrap.